let's talk more about being conscious about what we do, shall we? And I want to invite my next guest, which is Michael Neely, and he's putting together the Conscious Life Summit coming up very soon. I'm actually in it, and we're going to learn more about that and about Michael. Right now, Michael, welcome to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Now, we're not necessarily going to talk about food, or maybe we will in this segment, but there's a lot of things that are connected to food that we talk about on this program, and one of them is how people tend to sleepwalk through their lives, not paying attention to food and to other things. And one of the things that I've found with my diet and lifestyle is it has enabled me to be more aware, more conscious, and I think I'm enjoying my life all the more as a result. So let's talk about you and your podcast and your summit and this whole consciousness.
Yeah. Well, gosh, you know, my consciousness really started many years back, just trying to wake up more to how I am as a human being, you know, why I do the things I do, and not just me, but everybody. And then ultimately, a little over a year ago, I started my podcast, Consciously Speaking, because I felt like it was important information that everybody needed to really learn to just wake up, go, you know, turn off the autopilot and bring more real awareness to everything that's going on in their lives. And just to keep a longer story short, just out of this has evolved the Conscious Life Summit, which kind of the difference between the two is my podcast is interviews where I'll bring on guests like yourself who are making a conscious impact in the world and talk to them about their background, how they've traveled along their path of awakening and what, you know, their story is. And the difference in the summit is that I want that to be more of an opportunity for them to really teach. So the people who are tuning into the summit, they get, instead of hearing just all the backstory, they get to really walk away with some wonderful takeaways about waking up. And in your case, you know, I was very happy to wake up people to the world of food and taking care of ourselves the way we eat and our planet.
I mentioned to you in an email recently that my partner Gary and I are in California, and we're here probably for another month or two. I'm not quite sure. It's kind of exciting to be open-ended about what we're doing.
That's nice.
And I've lived here in California. I'm familiar with the lifestyle here. I've visited many times. But, you know, we do live in New York City, and it's very different there. And what we do in our home, I think, is very different than what most people do in their homes. And as we're visiting people and just seeing other people's lifestyles a little bit more, it's difficult because – I'm seeing things that I'm aware of that I know other people aren't aware of. And
yeah,
it's I can only control myself, and I don't want to judge. And it's, and restraint is a difficult thing. How do we manage that as conscious seeking folks when we're with people who aren't as, I don't want to use the word enlightened, but maybe I could use the word enlightened.
You know, it's really a wonderful and interesting question coming from you, because strangely enough, as I was scripting my podcast episode that's going to air, I believe I'm going to post it on Thursday as a kickoff to the summit, one of the things that I say about you is that you're very good at being a kind of a subtle guide and living by example. And I think that's one of the great things that we can use to expand consciousness is to show other people, let them see the way that we live and give them gentle nudges and guidance as opposed to trying to preach, because nobody, you know, likes to be preached to. But if we kind of gently open their eyes, I think that is a good way to wake up the world. And that's part of why I created the podcast as well, is, you know, give people a little taste of it, and then they can see, oh, that, kind of like a buffet, you know, they see that, oh, that looks good, let me try that.
Yeah, well, it's difficult. I appreciate you saying what you've said about me. I want you to know it's not the easiest thing. for a number of reasons, because we all see how the world is today and the problems that we have on this planet. We have environmental problems. We have violence and refugees and exploitation. There's just so many problems on the planet today. And when you see things that you know don't have to be and that could be easily changed just by a shift or something, and you know the dire situation the planet's in, you just want to be able to just let it all out and kind of like shake people. Don't you realize if you just do this, how much easier it would be? But we can't do that, can we?
No, you know, we can't, but it does make you want to do something. And it's so interesting that you bring up some of these other things. My particular episode for the summit, I talk about racism. And I'm not talking about it as like that's my topic that I'm here to fight in the world, but I use it as an example of one of the things that I believe we need to work on as a society. And the whole premise, though, behind that, aside from that being the topic, is that as a culture, we need to approach it the same way we do ourselves. So in other words, for me to change the way that I approach food and nutrition, I need to change my belief system, look at what stories I have around that that have made me believe a certain thing that may not be true, most likely isn't. And similarly with society, we need to stop hanging on to old false beliefs, create a new paradigm, and make the shift from within. And societally, I think the one way to change that is to, you know, whoever controls the media controls the story. And the media just keeps feeding the same old stories, and I think we need to change the story. And I think that is one way that we can approach everything, taking care of the planet, taking care of some of these world challenges that you mentioned.
Well, and that's why the internet is so great, because it's open to everyone to share information. It's not just closed to television and those who can get access to being on a mainstream news program.
Yeah,
but it's the ego. It's our ego that is comfortable in an identity that we've grown up with, and continually tries to bring us back to what the ego thinks we are. But we can change that.
We certainly can, and it starts with the belief. And one of the examples that I like to use is the fact that, you know, just over 500 years ago, we all believed that the world was flat. You know, and literally, and we would find proof in things that weren't necessarily proof, but if some ship went off sailing out into the sunset, no sight of land, if they never came back, well, there's your proof that the world was flat. They sailed off the end. And if they did come back, but they never spotted land, well, there's your proof. Neither of which was true, of course, but it supported this false belief that we didn't know was false. And so similarly, we still have beliefs in place that are, they're just crazy.
Yeah.
And we need to start to take away, you know, the background, remove the fiction from the story, and stick to the facts. And, you know, I think we can use that to tackle all of our issues. And I'm not saying it's easy, of course, but I love that you mentioned independent radio, independent podcasts, the internet. These are the ways that we're going to do this.
Absolutely. And not be afraid to say what needs to be said, because our sponsors don't want us to say certain things.
Right.
Yeah, this is real freedom. Now, tell me, the Conscious Life Summit, I'm going to be tuning in because I'm a part of it, but I'm also looking forward to all the other people that are involved. What are we going to learn about at the Conscious Life Summit?
Well, one of the things, the reason that I also liked creating this summit and call it the Conscious Life Summit as opposed to any one particular topic, but about a conscious life, is that many people will focus in one area and really develop their awareness in it, let's say. And so for myself, I grew up, I learned about conscious relationships. It was probably one of the first areas of consciousness that I developed. But then my child was born and I started to learn about conscious parenting. And there's still so many other aspects of waking up. And we tend to, I think, kind of pick and choose. And for the Conscious Life Summit, what I did was I brought in experts from 12 different areas of conscious living so that someone could really get a feel across the board of like, oh, you know what? I can be awake in every part of my life. And here's some great tips and wisdom on how to. And so that's what it's all founded on.
Okay, so I know I was talking about food, and what are some of the other topics that some of the experts are going to be discussing?
Yeah, thanks for asking that. So I have an expert on conscious sexuality. How can we wake up to our sexual feelings and get beyond certain taboos and improve our sex lives? And then there's conscious parenting. I have some wonderful experts that, you know, show us some ways to be more effective as a parent and to forgive ourselves for the mistakes we make along the way, and forgiving our own parents too, of course. And then I've got experts in business and experts in marketing. I've even got a love-based marketing experts who, one of the values I find in that as well is even if someone's not a marketer, they're not going to go out and start writing their own copy. But I think it's great to have her on the show because it also wakes us up to start to realize, oh, wait a minute, they're using these ploys to sell me something and I don't like it that they're not doing it in love-based, they're doing it in fear-based. And so we can also start to become aware of that. So let's see, what are some of the other things? And we have just basic conscious lifestyle, what it is to put things into place throughout your day, being on purpose. What is it to live a life that's filled with purpose? What are some of the others? Gosh, conscious leadership, not just in corporations and businesses, but also how we are leaders in our communities and in our own lives. And how we can live by example. So 12 topics altogether, and it's just going to be wonderful.
It's challenging to be awake and to be conscious because we see lots of things going on, things that we cannot change overnight, things that are painful. And to live a conscious life takes constant energy and focus, but I think at the end of the day, you can sleep peacefully with integrity, knowing that you have made your own choices without concern of outside opinion. And hopefully I would like to think that those conscious choices are for the good of yourself and for everyone around you.
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head there, Karen. It really is, you know, the way to approach it. And I think if you really are conscious, I think there's no other way than for the choices you make to be good for the whole of humanity and for the planet.
Now, I mean, you came out of this because you're a student of Buddhism. So do they teach this sort of thing in Buddhism? Being present, being conscious?
Well, yeah, definitely the being present part is a big aspect of Buddhism, that you learn to just be in the present moment, that, you know, the past is gone, the future isn't here, there really is only the now. And so that is certainly a practice of it. Where I think it's the consciousness that I speak of is a little bit different is that it then starts to evolve into, you know, making choices and bringing awareness into other stuff, which, yes, it is still related, and then within Buddhism, of course, there's things such as right speech and right livelihood, and so there's a lot of interconnectedness. And at the same time, I don't feel like it requires what I'm talking about with people waking up. I don't think requires there to be any element of Buddhism attached to it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Now, you've got a book coming out soon. When is it coming out? And what is the meaning of The Art of Forgetting, the title?
Well, yeah, it's, I keep putting it off because I have so many other projects that keep coming up on my plate, but my hope is that by November that I will have that book out. Yeah, you know how that goes, huh?
I know.
And the way the book evolved was I was in the pharmaceutical industry for a while, and I learned about an interesting process known as a double-blind study. And in the double-blind study, the physician when they're testing a drug, the physician's not allowed to know whether or not he's giving the patient a placebo or the real drug. Mm-hmm. And I wondered, well, why is that? The physician isn't taking the drug, but studies prove time and again that it would have an impact on the outcome of the patient. And that kind of blew me away when I first heard that. I'm like, really? So his expectations, the doctor's expectations, had an impact on whether or not you were going to get better. So if they believed you'd get better, you'd have an improved chance of getting better. And the more I looked at this, I realized we do this in life, in that, and as an example, we may all feel this. We go home to be with our parents for the holidays or something, and we notice that we show up a certain way. And part of that is because an expectation has been built for us to show up that way. Or even among our friends. Maybe your friends expect, you know, I'm always the funny guy. I'm the one always cracking jokes. And so they expect me to show up that way. And if I ever do show up being a little more somber and down, they're like, what's going on with Michael? And so when I started to tap into that, I realized, oh, wait a minute. So if we have these expectations, we are impacting the way things show up in our world. How can we change that? And the way to do that is to let go of these expectations and forget what we think we already know. And therefore, it's why it's called the art of forgetting, is that it's a practice in approaching every moment fresh. So let's even say with your partner, ideally, you would be able to roll over, see them in bed in the morning and look at them and say, do I know you? And really, you know, really mean it and get to know them new every day. And when you do that, it allows them to show up with fresh vitality and possibility instead of, you know, you have these expectations that they're going to be grumpy or they're going to this or they're going to that you then help to fulfill that prophecy. And so the art of forgetting is about letting go of all that.
You need to finish this book.
Yes, I do. I know.
You need to. But I know exactly what you're going through. I've been working on a book now for 10 years, and I promised myself it's going to be finished by the end of this year.
Yay! Woohoo!
Woohoo!
We can form a support group.
But this thing that you talked about, the double-blind study, I'm very familiar with studies like that, and I understand the purpose of it, but I you just gave me chills when you were just talking about how not just in a controlled experiment, but how doctors can definitely influence your outcome by his or her beliefs. And I know that with my own experience, because I, 10 years ago, went through advanced ovarian cancer, and I went with my gut and my intuition in terms of the doctors that I wanted to work with to help me get well. And some of the doctors I consulted with were scary, and I knew that I would die if I was treated by some of them, because they didn't have that same. I wanted a doctor, actually one of the doctors who was my surgeon, when we walked in, he basically said that I'm this healthy woman and he's going to, you know, take care of me. And that's the kind of guy I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was lucky. I made some good choices. But, the people around us can determine our outcomes if we let them.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of, you know, mentioning physicians in that respect, I think it's one of the worst things that they can do is when they have a prognosis and they give it to a patient almost like it's set in stone, like it's a sentence, like a doctor saying, you've only got 2 months to live or anything like that. I think that's crazy to do that.
Yep. Yep, well, that's...
You know, because what happens...
Yes, please.
I was just going to say, because then what happens is we take it on in our belief system. We might. I mean, not all of us, thank goodness you didn't. But we can, and we have a tendency to, take that on as a belief system, and then we manifest it. We create it. We are masters at manifesting our beliefs.
Well, you mentioned also earlier about the media and how they promote fear.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a part of it, too. The medical establishment or some medical practitioners can create fear for you if you allow it to happen in terms of insisting tests or diagnosis that you need. there's a whole gamut of what some will do as opposed to what others will do that are empowering and inspiring versus inflicting fear.
Yeah, we could do a whole episode probably just on the our health and medical system here in the United States, but it's
You've studied meditation as well, and I'm not an expert in meditation, but meditation was what resolved my fear. Absolutely.
Beautiful.
In my treatment and healing with my cancer experience, meditation was like a lifeline in terms of resolving fear. And you can't function if you're petrified.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the Conscious Life Summit. We have a few more minutes, and I just want to focus on that and how people can get involved with it. So I have some links on my website, responsibilityandliving.com, where you can find out more about it. And the website itself for the summit is what?
Well, you know what? Let's give your listeners a specific link so we'll know that they heard of it on your show. So if you want to tune into the Conscious Life Summit, go to consciouslifesummit.com/REAL. So it's consciouslifesummit.com/REAL, and that'll take you to the page where you can get hooked up. You can see all the guests there, and it's totally free. So I invite everybody to come and check it out.
Okay, thank you very much. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Okay, I'm really looking forward to that. Now, just one last thing about this summit is, like many other online summits, you can listen to everyone for free, and then there is an option, right, for people where they can buy a package if they can't attend everything or hear everything afterwards.
Yeah, there absolutely is, and the package will be available. Once you sign up, you'll be taken to a page where that package is available, and the package is really incredible. You're going to get all of the summits recorded and stored, so you'll actually be able to download them, take them, share them, do whatever you want with those, and then also a ton of great bonuses, including,
ta-da-ba-da.
Karen, I'm going to let you share about your bonus, yes.
Yes, and I am offering a free consultation in my coaching practice for anyone who wants some fast, good advice and find out more about coaching with me.
Absolutely, which is a wonderful, very generous bonus. So thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it. And quite frankly, the wake-up package is what it's called. If you get that and you get all these bonuses, you're getting the wake-up package for just $47 right now. I mean, you couldn't get a half an hour of Karen's time for that. So it's really a great deal, and I invite you to take advantage of that. In addition, you'll get the recordings, like I said, to keep forever. Otherwise, still tune in and listen. It's free, and you'll have access to those. The summit ends on June 10th. You'll get access to the recordings for a period of 48 hours after. So after June 12th, they'll be pulled down if you haven't purchased. But that still should give you time to check it out, see if you like it. And it's guaranteed, too, by the way. If you do purchase the wake-up package, 30 days later you decided it wasn't everything it was cracked up to be, it wasn't worth $47, I doubt you're going to think that. But if you do, we'll give you your money back and you still get to keep everything.
That sounds great. And, Michael, I'm really honored to be a part of it, and I'm looking forward to tuning in. So it starts on Friday, June 3rd, and goes until June 10th. Terrific.
Yeah.
Michael, thank you for joining me. And I look forward to learning more and speaking with you in the future. And see you at the Conscious Life Summit.
It's been my pleasure, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right, we have a few minutes left. That was Michael Neely of the Conscious Life Summit 2016. And looking forward to that. There are lots of interesting summits these days online. It's a beautiful place to be here in cyberspace, isn't it? Where we get to hang around with people we like and talk about things that we like to talk about or learn about. And as I mentioned earlier in the program, next week, I'm really looking forward to my guest, Jonathan Balcombe. He's been on the program before, and he has a new book out called What a Fish Knows. I'm going to read it before next Tuesday. I haven't started, but I'm really looking forward to it. There's some really fascinating things about fish that we just can't even imagine, because it's almost like they live on another planet, you know, living on the Earth in an atmosphere of air versus living in an atmosphere of salty water or fresh water is very, very different. It's like another planet. And we can't imagine that these living beings can feel, have senses, can experience pain, and have emotion and intelligence. And just as we were talking about with Michael, this being conscious, we have no understanding of this. We're not conscious about other beings, especially those who live in the water, and what the possibilities are. And I'm always frustrated, because I think if we were more open to it, we could learn so much to make our own lives that much better. Okay, so just in review, you have some great vegan seafood to try out from Sophie's Vegan Kitchen, and you can join me just in a few days at the Conscious Life Summit. Meanwhile, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. I am Karen Hartglass, and remember, have a very delicious week.